From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Haitian government is denying reports that it has stopped searching for earthquake survivors. Officials say they are still conducting search and rescue operations, especially in hard-hit Port-au-Prince. The death toll from last week's quake is estimated to be as high as 200,000. Thousands in Haiti are mourning the death of Archbishop Joseph Millot, who is being laid to rest today in the predominantly Roman Catholic nation. Millot was among those killed in the earthquake. NPR's Tom Bullock has more from the Haitian capital.
The Catholic archbishop was well known in this deeply religious country. Millot, a Haitian by birth, was known as a champion for the country's poor, and he actively fought for human rights, often butting heads with the series of governments that ran Haiti after he became archbishop. Millot's body was found just outside Port-au-Prince's Notre Dame Cathedral, which was largely destroyed in the quake. He was 63 years old. Tom Bullock, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
Britain has raised its terror threat level from substantial to severe, meaning that an attack is highly likely. Larry Miller reports from London.
Britain's Joint Terrorism Analysis Center increased the threat level based on a broad range of factors, according to Home Secretary Alan Johnson. He said the UK faces a real and serious threat from international terrorism, but would not specify what intelligence led to boosting the threat level to the second highest stage. While Johnson said an attack is highly likely, it is not imminent. There are reports Britain acted after picking up so-called chatter by known terrorist groups. There's also concern that an Afghan conference in London on Thursday, with a special session on Yemen, may become a terrorist target. More than 100 world leaders and foreign ministers, including Secretary of State Clinton, will be attending. The British public has been urged to remain vigilant. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The U.S. Marines' seven-year mission in Iraq's Anbar province is officially over. During a handover ceremony today, the U.S. Army assumed control of the former militant stronghold, where some of the fiercest fighting occurred during the war. The Marines' withdrawal from Anbar province marks the start of a major drawdown in combat forces in Iraq as more American troops are deployed to Afghanistan. The Obama administration has increased its focus on the Afghan-Pakistani border region, where Taliban and Al-Qaeda influence has increased in recent years. Vice President Joe Biden is trying to help resolve a political dispute in Iraq that threatens to undermine a crucial election in March. He and Iraqi leaders have been talking today about whether candidates suspected of having ties to Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party should be barred from the vote. Washington is concerned that if candidates are excluded, the election will be considered illegitimate. This is NPR News. Ken Taylor, the Canadian diplomat who secretly sheltered U.S. embassy staff during the Iranian Revolution 30 years ago, says he was a spy for the CIA and helped plan a U.S. military incursion into Iran. The details of Taylor's role are in a new book and confirmed in an interview in today's Toronto Globe and Mail. Anita Elash has details from Toronto.
Taylor was Canada's ambassador in Iran from 1977 to 1980 and became the de facto chief of the CIA mission in Tehran after students seized the U.S. embassy in 1979. 63 Americans, including the four-member CIA team, were held hostage. Taylor secretly sheltered six Americans and later spirited them out of the country. The new book says President Jimmy Carter personally asked Prime Minister Joe Clark that Taylor provide aggressive intelligence to the Americans. Taylor says he strongly supported the idea and started collecting information to help plan a commando raid to free the hostages held at the U.S. Embassy. For NPR News, I'm Anita Elash in Toronto.
Hundreds of Southern California residents are being allowed back home after the threat of mudslides forced them out. The region is drenched after a week's worth of rain. The storms also spawned tornadoes. Thousands of people are still without power. It's a similar scene in parts of Arizona where storms are blamed in the deaths of at least five people. A state of emergency has been declared in both states where the storm costs amounted to millions of dollars. The storm system is also causing damage in New Mexico. Several TV and radio stations were knocked off the air after a broadcast tower collapsed. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News, Washington.